You know, we have to make decisions in life. Many times we do not know what to do. We face situation and we're called upon to make a decision, and it's not easy sometimes to know what decisions we need to make. But I think the scriptures will help us. Somewhat like a recipe when you go to make something in the kitchen, ladies, or maybe men are going to build a building or put together something that they've ordered, maybe some mechanical machinery, and they have to follow some directions to put it together. Sometimes we act foolish and start out on our own and think we can do it, and we get about halfway through and nothing's working out, and we say, well, where's that piece of paper that came with it? Well, God has a piece of paper for us. Tell us how to do it. So we need to get that piece of paper out to start with. Follow the paper to beginning with. If you got a piece of paper, pencil, I'll give you some instructions from the Word of God. Here are 8 tests for decision making. If you want to write them down, and if you don't have pencil and paper, I'll have them here before you leave if you want them. Here are the things that God's Word says when we make decisions. Is it scriptural? Does it go along with what the Bible says? Now, if it doesn't, obviously, we shouldn't be doing it. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable. The doctrine, and the word doctrine there just means teaching. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, when we're faced with making a decision, does it line up with God's Word? If it doesn't, that ought to be enough there to tell us we shouldn't be doing. Second one, is it a secret? Would it bother me if other people knew that I was going to do this? Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressor shall destroy them. What would people think of me if I did this? How would it cause people to look at me as a professed follower of Jesus Christ? Number 3, can it pass a survey? Should other people follow me as I do this? 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, that is conduct, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Am I leading somebody else astray as I do this? I think I have mentioned this before. A long time ago, when I was a lot younger, I had a woman come to me and tell me that her son was watching me. I had no idea. Made me realize people do watch us, do see the way we're living. Young people many times wonder where we're going, and because they're following us on the road we're on, we want to make sure we're headed in the right direction, don't we? Number 4, is it spiritual? Galatians 1:10, he says, or do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who do I want to please? Do I want to follow the crowd? Do I want to fit in with the crowd? Or do I want to be a follower of God? I have to make a decision about this. Is it spiritual? Or do I want to do what men want me to do? Number five, would it cause stumbling in others? Romans 14:21 says, it is good neither to eat flesh or to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is it offense, or offended, or is it made weak? In other words, what I'm doing, is it going to hurt somebody else by what I'm doing? Number six, will it pass the serenity test? That is, I prayed about it, I've thought about it, do I have peace about it? If I don't have peace about it, maybe I need to hold off and not do it. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray about it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It's amazing what waiting upon the Lord will do. Wait until you're sure this is what God wants you to do. Number seven, will it contribute to my sanctification? That is, will it keep me from growing in my Christ-likeness? You know, the Bible says we are to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's good to see things growing, isn't it? If things are not growing, there's something wrong. You know, this year I've got a great granddaughter who's going to graduate from high school. Now, that ought not to be that way. I mean, I just don't like the idea of these kids growing up, because she'll be going off somewhere probably, to school maybe, or maybe marriage or something. But that's normal. That's natural. And we look at things that grow, and we see that in nature. But it's also a part of God's will for us to grow spiritually. We're commanded to grow spiritually. Somebody said years ago, and I don't know, I can't prove this, but they said that wasps, when they first come out of the nest, they're bigger when they first hatch, I guess you call them, than they are later on. That they actually get smaller the older they get. And that would be a terrible thing if a child of God didn't grow. If they got smaller, they got meaner. And you know, that's possible. It's possible for a child of God to get meaner and leaner because they're not following the Lord. And so would it cause me to grow, or would it stunt my growth? Would it cause me to go away from the Lord? Or what would it do to me as a person? Would it cause me to follow the Lord less? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that is a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, are others seeing me growing? Not me, just me seeing a growth, or others seeing a growth in me? I'm happy to say I heard your pastor and my pastor say some time ago about a member of this church, you had seen growth in somebody coming to this church. Don't come to ask me who it is, because I'm not going to tell you, but I'm rejoicing. Somebody in this church is growing. That's good. I'm happy to hear that. That's the way it ought to be. And then the last thing is, number eight, will it pass the supreme test? Will it glorify God if I do it? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:31 and Colossians 3:17. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Here are eight things that you can look at and consider as you make decisions in your life. Because we're going to have to make some decisions. And we want to make sure that we make the right decisions. And a good way to make those decisions is coming to the Lord and praying about it, isn't it? So let's pray. And as we pray, we'll pray for this dear brother as he comes this morning. Tells us what God has got on his mind. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you gave us instruction in your word, told us what you wanted us to be, what you wanted us to do. Sometimes we're just a little slow in listening to you, and we sometimes find ourselves where we don't need to be. We ask you to forgive us for that and help us to realize that the Bible is not just an old book that's filled with old words and old stories, but it's for us to live by. Help us to understand that and help us to realize that we can be greatly aided and helped in our life as we follow it and read it and meditate upon it. I pray that everyone in this assembly this morning will become convicted of the joy and the profit of reading the Bible, studying the Bible. We're coming to the end of a year, Lord, and in another few days we'll start a new year, and I pray that somehow it could be impressed upon the hearts of the people here that they could read through your word next year, finish the Bible reading through next year. Because, Lord, we know when people read your word and study it consistently, it changes them. They grow. They grow and they glorify you more, and they have a greater sense of joy in their life. We pray that you'll help them, help all of us. And we pray for our brother as he comes to stand before his flock this morning, the under-shepherd. Open his mind, heart, and open his mouth. And open our ears and heart now to receive what you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.